I just want to read from Luke 22. It's just a few verses from Luke 22. I want to read from verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. It was the evening before our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. The Lord Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room in this chapter. Many things had happened that particular night. Jesus had to teach his disciples a lesson in humility by washing their feet. That same night, he instituted the Lord's Supper. That same night, the disciples yet again argued about who was the greatest in the kingdom. And it was against that backdrop that Jesus turned and spoke to Simon some very somber words. Hence, repeating his name twice for emphasis. There are a number of points that I just want to raise from this encounter. And the first is this. Peter is to be sifted. Now, my father was a keen gardener. He had a garden around just over a quarter of an acre. But his prized part of that garden was his vegetable plot. And when it came to early spring, my father would go out over his vegetable plot with two rackety old sieves. And he would pour the soil into the sieve, shake it with all the might that he got to ensure that only good soil came through and all the rest would be discarded. And I would defy anyone to have gone on my father's vegetable plot and have found anything apart from good soil, which was ready for planting. He was so proud of his vegetable plots, and those two sieves were very important in preparation. In the New Testament, we have the picture of the farmer separating the wheat from the chaff. Now, although the Lord Jesus was addressing all of the disciples, he gave special attention to Simon. Because within a few hours, Simon would be making a denial of his Lord. Satan was about to batter, shake, and greatly unsettle these disciples. It's important to note in that 31st verse, Satan has asked for you. Satan had no power whatsoever to do anything to those disciples unless permission was given to him. And I want to say tonight that his power is still controlled by Almighty God. The story of Job is another example. Satan had to ask God's permission before he severely attacked that godly man. And I want to encourage you tonight by saying this. It's the same with us. God will not permit Satan to attack us more than we can handle. The limit of his power is still controlled by our Heavenly Father. However, sometimes the battering of Satan seems to knock the faith right out of us. We are shaken from side to side, and at times we feel an utter failure. And we can understand Simon's reaction to his failure when he wept bitterly. Do you know there are times in our life as Christians when we feel that our faith is hanging by a thread? And at times, it can be very close to snapping. To get us to these desperate states, Satan has many means. People will ridicule our faith, including members of our immediate family. I remember a few years ago going to a church near Bristol. And I was speaking to a girl of 18 years of age. 2 years earlier, she had been converted. Lovely testimony. The night of her conversion, she went back home. And she felt that she had to tell her parents immediately of what had happened that night. And their reaction that she received was, young lady, go straight upstairs, pack what belongings you need, leave this house tonight, and do not dare return until you have denounced this faith of yours. 2 years later, she still hadn't returned. She will not deny the faith that she found. But sometimes the battering of Satan seems to knock the faith right out of you. And then Satan will point us to believers who have failed. Believers who we respected and who we admired and who we looked up to. But now, sadly, they no longer walk in that way. Satan will then point us to unbelievers who have become rich and powerful and popular, and he'll say, just look what you've missed by following this man, Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you one of the most subtle ways that Satan acts in. He reminds us of our own sin. He tells us we are failures. He taunts us by saying that we are not true believers. The devil has a long memory, and he makes sure that we have a long memory also. And sins we committed decades ago, sins that we thought were past and finished, he brings once again to our memory. And I say to us all, never be surprised at the extent that Satan goes to. I want to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I do. But I think sometimes we forget how dangerous our adversary is. And our adversary is a murderer. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a cheat. And he and me don't get on too well at all. But I want to add this. Do not forget, ever forget, no matter how much you're being battered and tested, that he cannot destroy the faith of any true believer. Why? Point two. Jesus cares for us. I love this phrase in verse 32. Jesus says to Simon, I have prayed for you. One thing we must never forget is that we are a fellowship of believers. We're not isolationists. We are a fellowship of believers. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And whether you like it or not, I'm your brother in Christ Jesus. We all are related through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray for one another. We rejoice together. We weep together. But we pray for one another. But I've got something far more precious than that. I have a Savior in heaven who prays for me. Now, it's a long time since I was back. I don't know some of you now. I don't know what problems you may have. And you may have come tonight and you're concerned. You've got financial problems. You may have employment problems. You may have health problems. You may have family concerns. But I want to say this to you, that you have one at the right hand of God the Father who is constantly interceding on your behalf. You see, Jesus knew that very, very soon Simon would be facing a personal attack from Satan. This would be the greatest battering that this man had ever encountered. And Jesus wanted to assure his friend that he would not be alone in the furnace of despair. But Jesus would be upholding him. The one thing that I love about our Lord here is he didn't turn to Simon and say, Simon, pray for yourself. He didn't say to Simon, Simon, get these other disciples to pray for you. He didn't say any of that. He said to Simon, Simon, I am praying for you. Jesus wanted to assure Simon that while he would be weeping, Jesus would be praying. My friends, there are times in our Christian life when we find ourselves on our knees in tears, we're surrounded by Satan's lies, we're reminded of our constant failings, we feel our faith is on the edge of a precipice, ready to be pushed over to the rocks below. Remember these words, John 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The only way that Satan could destroy our faith is if he was stronger than our Lord Jesus. I thank God he ain't. And when I turn to Calvary, and when I gather round this table like tonight, I see Satan defeated, and I see Jesus victorious. And I'm reminded of that old hymn which says, Jesus is stronger than Satan and sin, and Satan to Jesus must bow. Let me tell you this, friends, that while Christians often fail in their praying, Jesus doesn't fail in his. He will never lose one of his people whom he has died for. John Newton wrote, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead me home. However, there is one question that is often asked. I think this is a question that every pastor has been asked time and time again. It's a question I've been asked time and time again. Why should Christians suffer in this way? Do you know, I'm thankful that this passage gives us the answer. Why do we suffer in this way? Number one, to strengthen our faith. When you come to verse 32, it says this, that your faith should not fail. The Lord puts us in Satan's sieve so that our faith is strengthened. When I left school, I worked in a jewelry store in the great place called Barnsley. And when I worked in the jewelry store, we were taught all about precious metals, how they come into our hands, and so forth. And gold comes from the earth in its raw state. And gold has to go through numerous forms of refinement. It goes through intense heat, first of all, to get rid of all the impurities within us. And it just reminds me that as gold is refined by fire, so our faith is purified by trials. Then that gold comes to the polisher. And that gold is polished time and time and time and time again. And that gold is never satisfactory until the refiner or the polisher can see his or her own reflection in the metal. Ladies, gentlemen, if you have any gold on you, whether a ring, necklace, or whatever, you should be able to see your reflection in it. And if you can't, it's just not fit for purpose. You should be able to see your reflection in the metal. I can see some of you checking now just to make sure. But you should. We have to journey through the furnace of affliction, not to impair us, but to improve us. And then we are polished so that Christ's reflection can be seen in and through our lives. His image must be seen in how we think, in how we speak, in how we conduct ourselves. I love some of the modern choruses, but I still love some of the old ones. There's an old one that we used to sing when I was in Sunday school, and it went like this. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, until the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. Let me tell you, Christian, God wants the very best for you. We don't deal with a God that goes for second best. That's not our business. That's not his business. God wants the very best for you. And to get that best, sometimes it means going through the furnace of affliction. It means being refined. We are made stronger through suffering. But remember, we will not be tested more than we can handle. But why should Christians suffer? First of all, to strengthen our faith. But secondly, to strengthen the faith of others. Go back to verse 32. He says, when you have returned to me, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. I love Psalm 66. And when we come to Psalm 66, we have these words. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our back. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. For what purpose? What is the reason? It tells us to bring us out to rich fulfillment. Trials are not meant to knock us off our feet. They're meant to secure them on a firm footing. We go through trials and setbacks to help others. You see, I am more and more convinced that only those who have been bereaved can truly help those who are grieving. Only those who have been unemployed can really sympathize with those who are jobless. Only those who have been homeless can comfort those without a roof over their heads. Only those who have been through the furnace of affliction in whatever way can support those who at this moment are still in the flames. The Lord permitted Simon to be severely shaken in Satan's sieve, that he would come out of that experience far stronger and far wiser. And because of that experience that Simon went through, he would be able to be used by God to strengthen future generations of Christians. I'm confident that Simon Peter would never have been able to write these words in his epistle if he had escaped Satan's snares. He said this, 1 Peter 5, 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks around seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm convinced, I'm confident, he could never have written like that if he had escaped Satan's snares. I just want to close by saying this. I have some difficult news and some good news. Satan is still sifting. And we have to face that fact. And some of you may say, but I've never experienced anything like what you've talked about. Well, be careful, because you might. Satan is still sifting. But the good news is this. Jesus is still praying. And just as he prayed for Simon, Jesus is constantly praying for you and for me. And I would just say this, never ever doubt his care for you now or at any time in the future. He loves his people. And if you have doubts about his care for you, just turn your eyes to Calvary. And Calvary should remove any doubt about the depth of his love and concern for you. Satan still sifts. Beware. Be on your guard. But Jesus still prays. We're going to turn to him